Truth Dude Maker Hotline, or Dude Makerette Hotline today, Victi Yamasaki is a fire-breathing woman, not a dragon. You don't want to have to deal with her, pro-aborts. Now, I'm going to turn Victi loose here. And I'm going to ask her a couple of questions, but I am very excited for y'all to hear her. This is what one person can do and what one person can learn, and they can truly ring that proverbial alarm bell, that alarm bell. In the great pro-life Hoosier state of Indiana, there is an evil that is working. Well, I'm going to let Victi tell you the story. Victi, I know that you're out and about traveling this morning, and you say you're at the Indiana State House. Is that right?
Yeah, thanks, Mike, for having me on your show. I appreciate it.
You know what? You don't have to thank me at all. But I just want to share with the audience quickly yesterday. Victi and I were having like a kind of a pre-interview, and I don't do these. I don't do pre-interviews. And I'm listening to Victi talk for about 2.5 minutes. I went, Victi, please don't take this the wrong way, but please stop talking. And there was kind of dead air. There was silence, and Victi goes, and I went, no. Keep the passion. I love it. And the audience is going to love it. I don't want to hear the rest of the story. I want to hear it for the first time with the listeners tomorrow because you were so fired up about it. I'm listening just going like, this can't be happening in Indiana. So let's start at the beginning, Victi. The decision Dobbs comes down. And instead of springing into action to protect life in Indiana, the diabolical forces organized and got together, and then seemingly, well, you tell the story. What's going on?
Yeah, so I have it through intelligence that, you know, the pro-life community had garnered resources together to try to draft a bill that would not sweep away 10 years of pro-life advances that have, you know, made Indiana the fifth most pro-life state in the union. And they had worked very hard with both the Senate and the House here in Indiana, the General Assembly, and they had the nod from the entire General Assembly that they were going to put forth that bill from these pro-life leaders that would have banned abortion in all circumstances and retained all of the very important pieces of legislation that have taken place over the last decade. And on that very day, they turned their backs on the pro-life community. Ugh. And they introduced a bill that is word for word, ironically identical to the testimony that came before ACOG, which, if people aren't familiar with that, that's the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecologists. And they're very much aligned in thinking with the abortion industry. And paramount is that they want to protect their own skin. And so from there, we had to start trying to figure out how we could turn this into a pro-life bill.
Okay.
It's just so frustrating. And so what, you know, in a nutshell, what's in this bill? So on the surface of it, people, you know, like the Indianapolis Star, which is so liberal, and WTHR-TV, I mean, radio and TV, are saying, well, this is a pro-life bill because it's almost a total ban on abortion. Well, you know what? The devil's in the details, and so are Marxists. They are the masters of language. And what's in this, they basically make abortion only, it's a total ban, except for, and this is important, if it prevents the substantial permanent impairment of the life of the mother. You could drive a truck through that. I've talked to legal analysts from Students for Life, Susan B. Anthony list, from Indiana Right to Life. So, I've got it on excellent authority from national and local legal analysts that are saying anybody that says that they have, like, a mental impairment because they can't finish school because of their pregnancy will qualify under that parameter.
That's just okay? I want to make sure everybody is I want to make sure you're understanding this, listeners and audience. And I will make this interview available to the world after the fact, so you can distribute it to anyone you want. I want you to understand what's happening here. Yesterday, Vicki, I had my dear friend Joe Doyle from the Catholic Action League of Massachusetts on. You know, Massachusetts is basically just making infanticide legal on every street corner in the state as they can. And I told Joe, because Joe, the bill that Governor Baker just signed, well, what a detestable lout he is, in Massachusetts, I said, you know what the end result of this is going to be, Joe? I said, the end result of this is going to be what is defined now as rape is going to expand so dramatically that it's going to include casual encounters will now become rapes. That's what's going to happen in Indiana. If you don't understand why they put the rape exception in the bill, it's so that they can change the definition. This is what libtards do. They use nominalism, they take the word, and then they pervert it. And that's what they're going to do in the Hoosier state.
Yeah, Mike, I'll tell you, that's the other exception. It's in the case of rape and incest. And in the original bill, there wasn't even an affidavit that was required. Any woman could walk in and claim rape or incest. And I want to be clear with your supporters there, your listeners, that rape and incest is so rare, okay? In any study, even if you go to the Guttmacher Institute from Planned Parenthood, it's under 1%, all right? What is going to happen, though, if there's not even a police report filed with the authorities? People are going to claim this just to file under that exemption. But now they made an amendment to say, okay, the woman has to file an affidavit and file it with her physician. So they're putting all of the onus on the woman and none of the onus on the physician. Now tell me that that wasn't contrived by ACOG, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, so that they can wash their hands of this. There's rape kits. You telling me that they can't do anything to evaluate whether that woman was raped? There should be a police report filed. First of all, there should be no exception. Because let me ask you, if you don't believe abortion should be legal in this state and in this country, because apparently they're saying there should be a ban here, why is it okay that some babies can die?
That's right. That's right.
Why is that okay? You know, and I've been reading voraciously. There's an Elliott study that shows that 80% of those women that go through with an abortion later regret their decision about having that abortion from rape. I know of a woman that personally, you know, I've known her for 50 plus years, and about 45 years ago, sadly in Detroit, she was raped by two men. All right. She had an abortion. She was pressured by her whole family to have that abortion. Okay. She has cried every single year since then, and she can never have children now. You know, this. Another woman I know had, you know, it was raped, but she very thankfully decided for adoption. And that turned out to be a beautiful situation with a little boy. His name is Hill, who was adopted by a big Catholic family. He's just a beautiful soul. So you see, there are options. Abortion is not the option. Adoption is.
Now, yesterday when you and I were talking, what did I tell you when you read to me and you told me about what is in this bill in Indiana? I said, wait a minute. So the definition now of rape, or who it is that can claim that they were raped, you don't even have to have what used to be called the rape kit. The woman doesn't even have to go like, well, we'll do a rape kit on you to find out. No. Simple affidavit. Yep, he raped me. Are you sure? Yep, pretty sure. Yep. And then the doctor goes, "Oh, okay. All right, you can we can kill the result of the so-called rape, right?"
Right. Exactly.
That is unthinkable. It's not. First of all, Vicki, where are the doctors in the Indiana legislature? This is not ethical. Doctors can't make that kind of decision. They're not executioners.
Right. I got to tell you, I instead of giving these women the kind of financial and emotional support that they need to get through this trauma, I mean, think through this. Everyone knows that the mother's not the victim, the baby's not the victim, are the victim. The only person who's the perpetrator here is the rapist. And yet, who's the one that gets the capital punishment? The baby.
That's right.
All right? There's something so messed up with this equation. They need to go after the guy who raped that woman. There needs to be accountability. And the baby shouldn't be the one. All these abortion activists say, "Oh, you talk out of both sides of your mouth." I don't believe in capital punishment either, okay? Because I'm a pro-lifer all the way, but they're sentencing that baby. They're sentencing that baby to death because they can't go after the guy or don't want to go after the guy, so they're going to sentence that baby to death. It's horrible.
Now, I want you people to understand that this is not happening in Illinois. This is in Indiana. Indiana is the fourth most pro-life state in the union, as Vicki said. By the way, I live in Louisiana. Louisiana is number one. We're the most pro-life state in the union. It's not an accident that we're probably also the most Catholic. But we'll discuss that on and that's remnants of Catholicism, not modern Catholics. We'll talk about that later when we talk about soupage and the Institute for Christ the King. But Vicki, I want to reinforce this point here because people think Indiana, you think the movie Hoosiers, you think it's a big red state, and it is. I mean, you do have some big cities, Indianapolis, Gary, Indiana, etc. I imagine that's, and people would imagine it was, most of the abortions are probably in those big cities like Indianapolis. No. This is something that Vicki and I talked about yesterday, and I said, I'm going to ask you about this, and I want to talk about this because you must understand the spiritual roots of what they are doing in Indiana. A large part of the abortions that were taking place before Dobbs were being administered or where the babies were being executed in South Bend. Gee, I know that name from somewhere, Vicki. Oh, wait, that's where the University of Our Lady, University of Notre Dame, is. Here's what makes it even more offensive. This is an offense against the Trinity and against the Holy Family. South Bend is the capital, if you will, the county seat of St. Joseph County. So you have St. Joseph County, South Bend, and you have Notre Dame, and you have Holy Cross right there. You have a trinity of offense there. And then I reminded Vicki, I said, do you remember that monster who lived in Illinois and who was traveling to South Bend to that building where they finally found out that he was doing late-term and partial birth abortions, and he was taking the remains back to his home in Illinois, and when he died, they went in and they found this. So there is an evil here that's at work, Vicki.
Oh, it's demonic. It's so demonic. I've even noticed that at these prayer rallies down at the State House, and the reps and the senators have commented how kind and patient, and we just glow with light. Even though we're upset, because there are senators that have betrayed us here, but still we are a people of hope and we're a people of prayer. These people are chanting horrible slurs, not at just the legislators, at us as we walk by. It's demonic. I do want to raise one point with you. There is another piece in this bill, and it's an important one, and it gets to me. It's almost like a Marxist play, you know, where they start playing around with the words. In the definition of abortion, they went ahead, you know, what would you think should not be considered an abortion? A live birth, right?
Right.
Or a dead fetus, which they, you know, would be some a woman who unfortunately has had a miscarriage. But now what they're including also is a woman who has a baby who has an irremediable medical condition. So that brings in a whole suite of children who are tested and have some medical condition that they wouldn't be able to live necessarily outside of the womb on their own. And so all those children are now swept out, and they're not even considered, if the life is taken, they're not even considered an abortion. So it is legal to kill them.
Golly.
It is legal to kill them under any circumstance at any stage of pregnancy. And it's so bad that all of these 10 years of advances that have been made to protect the baby in the womb, and the mother, I might add, and healthcare providers are gone, because if something is no longer considered an abortion, well, then all of a sudden that medical procedure, quote unquote, gets healthcare funding through Medicaid.
Golly.
So now these things are funded through Medicaid.
Yeah.
And it gets even better, because healthcare providers have to do those abortions even if they're in the seventh, eighth, ninth month, because all of those healthcare providers are stripped of their conscience protection. You can dismember a baby.
And all of this is in the bill. All this is in the bill that's in front of the...
Here's the thing. It's so demonic, because they just say this whole category is not an abortion. So Thomas More Society picked up on this, and they said, once you exclude that whole category of abortion, because everything, all of the legal protections that we've had in 10 years are hinged on something being an abortion. So once something is no longer considered an abortion and it's just a surgical procedure of some other kind, you no longer have any protection.
Wow.
Under the abortion bill. So that has to go. That has got to go. They have to remove the rape and incest. We have to put a lot of public pressure on them for that. And we have to redefine what the life of the mother is, because it has to be just for her physical life, that there might be impending death to save the mom, you know, and it can only be that exception.
Now, Vicki Yamasaki is on the Dude Maker Hotline with us. Vicki, you work with a pro-life group in Indiana. What's it called?
Yeah, so we're Corpus Christi for Unity and Peace. We've grown exponentially in the last 2 years since we were founded. We were originally founded after the suspension of Father Ted Rothrock when he spoke out against Black Lives Matter.
Oh, I remember Father Ted. I remember the letter. I read it on air. I read Father Ted's letter on air.
Oh, yes. I remember. I remember, Mike. You covered that well. And so, you know, what we do, our focus with Corpus Christi for Unity and Peace, is we are very focused on not only protecting these canceled priests that are so persecuted and things that are going wrong in the church, because we need to preserve our sacred tradition and our doctrines, but also the sanctity of life, the sanctity of marriage and religious freedom.
Now, let me ask you about the part of the bill that might have that has eugenics in it. Is there anything about eugenics that's in this bill?
Yeah, so that was what I was just talking about. If a child has irremediable medical conditions, you could have a child with Down syndrome.
Or you could have the test says it has Downs. That's not 100% accurate. That test could say it could be wrong. The test could be wrong.
Absolutely. So what happens is that it opens up eugenics to an entire class of children. It is discrimination. It is discrimination. I'm telling you, we have to have this immediately dismantled. Some people think that we can fix this bill and we can put all these fixes in. Other people think it needs to be blown up and we need to start over. Because in its current state, if we keep allowing the rape and incest and allowing people to discriminate against children like with Down syndrome and do eugenics, we are going to have Indiana become the destination for human trafficking.
There you go. Now, I want to kind of pivot here with Vicki Yamasaki of Corpus Christi for Unity and Peace. Vicki, let's make a little sidebar here quickly, but it's on the same subject. The great Hoosier State of Indiana is a great state. There are great people there. You and my mutual friend, I call him BKB, Bill M. You know Bill. I know lots of other great people in Indiana that are trying to do good things. There are good Catholics there. There are good evangelicals, really wonderful people there. It's a good state. It really is. It's mostly a farming state. It's very rural. But we know, Vicki, that the evil is working, and it's working behind the scenes, and it's very powerful, and it's very successful in the past. You people out there going, oh, come on, TKD, Roe's gone, Indiana would never do that. Don't ever forget the Religious Freedom Restoration Act that was signed by Mike Pence for brains in 2015, the pomp and circumstance that less than 15 months after he signed it, he was signing the repeal. And not only was he signing the repeal, he asked for the repeal and the cowardly legislature for fear that PayPal and Google and Apple weren't going to do any business in Indiana. These were idle threats. There's no way they could have actually executed those. The Justice Department under Trump would have taken all of those companies to the cleaners. The legislature of Indiana kowtowed and cowardly caved in and gave in to the pedo cult of death, and it's been open season ever since. So don't ever forget what's already happened in Indiana. If you say it can't happen in Indiana, you're too red and too Republican and too pro-life. BS.
I agree with you. I totally agree with you. I will tell you, I'm deeply, deeply disappointed in the supermajority Republican concentration that we have in Indiana. The Senate let us down. There was a few good eggs on the Senate. There was a guy, Mike Young, on the Senate side who had introduced Amendment 58 that would have fixed most of this, and he valiantly fought for that with some other senators, but he lost. And I called on my entire membership to take note and to call every senator that voted against that Amendment 58. Now that it moves to the House, we have the co-sponsors Peggy Mayfield, Joanna King, and Wendy McNamara. Now, I will tell you, Peggy Mayfield and Joanna King, that's good that they were chosen to help co-sponsor this because they are real pro-lifers. And Wendy McNamara, on the other hand, that remains to be seen. I think she's more of the leadership's referee in this process. And I've heard through the grapevine that she may be pushing to include contraceptives in this bill
as it
goes forward. I have heard, I don't know if it's true, but I have heard that they may bend a little bit and in that redefining of abortion, which would be huge, and get that fixed, and hopefully fix the life of the mother exception as well. But we need to lean in hard on removing the rape and incest, because as I said, and I want to repeat this, we do not want to become the destination of choice for human traffickers. I want to put this in context for you.
Okay.
We have lost 539,000 lives, which have untold human value, talent. I mean, think about the workforce and the economy. All these broken and wounded women over the years since Roe v. Wade took place, all of those lives lost in Indiana. All right? If you were to look at that in terms of how many of those does that make up in all the districts for representatives, that is 8 times over all the districts in Indiana. We need to get our act together. And everybody is watching us across the entire country. This is the first full-on piece of legislation since Roe was overturned. Every single state is watching Indiana. All the eyes are on us. We do not want this to turn into a Roe 2.0. This is the great lie everybody thinks, and including the Senate, I kept hearing them testify that women need and want to kill these children.
No.
You know, when they're in this trauma state. That is a lie.
These children are
wanted by someone, mostly by their mothers, as the studies prove out.
It should boggle the mind. Why is murder a cure for despair?
Well, that's the demonic.
I never understood this.
Mike, it goes back to the demonic.
Yes.
Now, everybody has, I mean, it's the demonic influence. Well, that's all I can say.
We have 3 minutes left, so let me hit a point here real quick with Vicky Yamasaki of the CorpusChristiForPeace.org. That's the website, CorpusChristiForPeace.org. I know Congressman Ron Paul very well. I ran for president twice. I was very involved in the 2012 campaign. I interviewed him over 25 times over the years. Dr. Paul spent many, many decades as an obstetrician. And he was medically trained by the United States Air Force. And he was, and a lot of people didn't know this about Dr. Paul, he's one of the most vehemently pro-life people that there ever was in the Congress. And he was a Life Begins at Conception. I asked him one time, I said, Dr. Paul, you delivered over 20,000 babies. How many times did you deliver a baby and were asked to abort because to preserve the life of the mother? Here's what he told me, Vicky.
0.0.
He said never. It never happens. It's a canard. They throw that in there, and then they twist the definition, and they say, oh, but the life of the mother, she's going to be economically impacted. You see, Janet Yellen told us this in testimony before the United States Senate a month ago.
That's right. That's exactly right. And I got to tell you, most women, I mean, the reality is, most women, when they see that ultrasound, there is no way that they're going to abort their baby. They're going to keep that baby. And why is that? Because it's the most natural thing in the world for a woman to want to protect and nurture a child.
Yep.
We need to stop this war on women, motherhood, the family, all of our basic instincts. We need to stop hurting women, period.
I concur. Vicky, for people that are in Indiana and they're going like, I knew nothing about this. They're going right now going like, how can I find out more? Well, number one, you can go to your website, which is Corpus Christi for Unity and Peace.org, correct?
Yes, thank you.
And is there anything on the site that will direct them towards this activity?
Yes, there is. We have an upcoming pro-life education night with one of the co-sponsors of this bill.
Okay.
It'll be very important for people to attend August 22nd. Just go to our website and go to the event page.
Okay.
And we also have Father James Altman live coming in September. And so he's a friend, and he's coming in September on September 10th. So go to our event page. Live, and you'll see both of those, and you can get tickets.
All right, Vicki, we're out of time. God bless you and your heroic and valiant and chivalrous chivalrous reaction to what's going on in the great state of Indiana. By the way, there's an election in Kansas today. If you live in Kansas, go out and vote. Vote for the constitutional amendment to make life begins at conception, basically, and chase the aborters out of the great state of Kansas. Vicki, I will make this available for you and for your group later today. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us.
Thank you. Yes. Oremus. Ora pro nobis. Ora pro nobis. Thank you very much. Pro nobis. Thank you very much.